All right, we're recording. Okay, so I'm Liza Black, and you are?
My name is Stephanie Hebert. I'm First Nations Mi'kmaq from Nova Scotia, Canada. And I am from Haverhill, Massachusetts, and I currently live just outside of Dallas, Texas.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you're 2 hours ahead of me. Okay.
Yes.
So today is Wednesday, April 22nd, right? Is it Wednesday?
It is Wednesday.
Okay. See, this is part of the pandemic, is not being very sure what day it is.
It's true. No, it's true. They all sort of blend into each other.
Oh, gosh. Absolutely. Okay, so I really want to talk to you about the social distance powwow, but I've never met you before. So maybe you could talk about, if you're comfortable talking about, what you normally do for work, or
sure,
at least what you did for work prior to the pandemic, and whether that work has changed.
Sure. So I'm 28 years old. Like I said, I'm originally from Haverhill, Massachusetts, which is about 20 minutes or so north of the city of Boston. I am a wildlife biologist by education. I have a master's degree from New Mexico State University in wildlife conservation and management. And in my day-to-day job, I'm a civilian employee with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers as a natural resources specialist and a park ranger. So I had the dubious honor of being an essential employee. I'm still working 40 hours a week. And then the social distance powwow is something that I'm doing on a volunteer basis when I'm not at my 9-to-5.
Oh, wow. And are you doing your work in the way that you did before, or are you doing it from home?
No, because of the nature of my job, I have to be on site.
Okay.
I'm not quite law enforcement, but I issue tickets. I have a badge. And so I'm required to do patrols out at the lake, which is about 6 miles from where I am right now.
Okay. Wow. So your work has actually increased in that you're doing a lot of volunteer time with the powwow.
Yes, and I have a small business of my own as well. So I'm a busy woman.
Tell me about the small business.
It's called the Talon Beading Company. I'm a professional bead worker. I make beaded outfits for and regalia for our dancers. And then I also make day-to-day wear and statement pieces for all manner of events. So,
oh my goodness. Okay. How has the pandemic impacted your small business? Are you getting more orders?
Getting more orders. And initially I was concerned, I'll admit. A lot of people are out of work. A lot of people in Indian country, because of the fragile nature and structure of native economies and reservations and things like that. I was concerned. However, what I'm seeing is that people recognize that I am a small business, and they also recognize that I'm still an essential worker, and they are in a position where, through either the stimulus payments that have been coming through, or they themselves are essential employees and their expenses have dramatically dropped, that they are able to make payments towards beadwork. And I'm backed out on orders now through July. And it has really helped us. I donate most of my profits at this point back to the community, for masks, for anything that they may need. And then I also have sponsored specials through the social distance powwow with that money, to give back, to those who maybe don't have a way necessarily to buy things right now.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Okay, so I guess we should jump into powwow talk. So maybe you could, I have been on powwow committees, I've been to lots of powwows, I love a powwow. But just for future researchers, maybe you could talk about your personal relationship with powwow life, and then maybe talk about how this came to be, this social distancing powwow.
Yeah, and the theme of it all is resiliency. Native people are very resilient. We find a way. When I was 12 years old, was when I first entered the powwow circle. That would have been I'm going to make a liar out of myself, right around 2007, somewhere in there. I was adopted by a Pawnee woman, who lives in southern New Hampshire, just outside of Manchester. And, she said, "Do you want to go to powwow?" 12-year-old me said, "Sure. You know, why not?" And I at that point I went and I was under the impression that I was just going to watch. You know, Elise was on a drum. She was Pow Wow Committee. She was the secretary of the New Hampshire Intertribal Council at that time. And so I thought I was going to watch. Well, that was not what happened. I was dressed out in a northern traditional buckskin set of regalia and put out into circle, having never been to a powwow before. And a lot of times families start their children young. The powwow community is a very tight community, and these dances and this way of life is handed down through with aunties and uncles and parents and grandparents all the way down, and all the way down to the littlest kids who maybe can't even walk yet. And so a powwow in the way that we think of it is a celebration. It's a celebration of life. It's a gathering to have a good time. At the end of the day, we're there to laugh. We're there to dance. We're there to raise prayers for those who can't dance with us or can't be there, whether they're ill or something like this. And there are sacred moments in the powwow, you know, circle in there, in these events, whether it's a mourning song for someone who's passed away, whether it's a coming out dance for someone who's coming out of a period of mourning. They're called honor songs, and they are solemn events, or they can be joyous events. We have honor songs for our high school graduates, for our first responders, for our veterans. And we make a point to honor people in that public setting. But largely it's a conglomeration of dancers, singers, on large powwow drums and on hand drums, vendors and merchants selling their wares, whether it's beads, supplies, or finished goods, regalia items, soaps, you know, all sorts of things, and food. And no, you can't go to a powwow without a good Indian taco, or, you know, some mutton or these sorts of things. And so it's a unique thing where you can be as small as 30 dancers or even less sometimes if it's really raining. Or I've danced at powwows with over 1,000 dancers, 1,500 dancers coming in. And it always has the same feeling to it, no matter how many people are there. It's a beautiful, beautiful experience. But that said, during COVID, there is no way to social distance at a powwow. I mean, even the drums are 2 to 3 feet wide and they're shoulder to shoulder, sometimes turning this way to make it in. There's no way. And we look to powwow for a variety of things, whether it's connecting with tradition, whether it's connecting with family and friends who we may never see outside of one specific powwow. You know, sometimes it's a spiritual thing where, you know, I know as a dancer, like we joke about powwow hangovers, the days after where you're just completely wiped out and exhausted. But spiritually it really fulfills, at least for me, it revives me and it just makes you feel good on the inside, if that makes sense. And our community misses that. We are a culture built on physical connection. We are a culture built on gatherings and sharing. So Dan Simons, who's one of our other co-founders, this was his original idea. Mm. He put a video out on Facebook and started this group called the Social Distance Powwow. And this video was about 30 seconds long. And he's in Bozeman, Montana, so it was snowing outside. And he said, basically said, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what it's going to look like moving forward, but we're going to try. And so I messaged Dan, and I've known Dan. He's a wampum bender. I'm actually wearing some of his work right now.
It's beautiful.
And we traded. I've done bead work with him. He made my wedding jewelry. So we go back. Mm. And I said, Dan, do you need help? And he said, yeah, if you don't mind, you know, I could use somebody to help me with some posts and approving members and this. And you can't have a powwow without a good MC. And that's where Whitney Rencounter came in, Whitney Rencounter II, excuse me. And he is a very well-known MC across the western parts of powwow country. And he was all about it. And we told him up front, look, we have no idea how this is going to work. This is going to be a really fluid thing. He's good friends with Dan. And so he was on board. At that point, there was 22 people in the group, including the three of us. By that Saturday, So that would have been March 16th.
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that.
By that Saturday, we had 52,000 people. The following Saturday, we had over 100,000 people. Right now, it's April 22nd, and we are about 150 people shy of 165,000 people. So about 4 weeks. 5 weeks. 5 weeks. Yes. And so, firstly, we had no idea what the, when I offered a hand, not that I would do anything differently, that I had no clue that this is what was coming. We have contests. We have, well, I shouldn't say contests. We have specials. We don't, you know, we are gifting away money. Members of our community are gifting away things. We're not, you know, getting corporate sponsors or anything like that. And we are completely on volunteer. You know, I don't get paid to do this. Dan, Whitney, neither of them. And even all the hosts and the guests that we have, none of them have ever once asked if they would be getting paid or not. It's all for the community and to try to restore some sense of togetherness in a time where togetherness can be potentially fatal, and in using technology to bring large, large celebrations together, even when we physically can't be.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh, I have so many questions, and I'm sure you have so much you could tell me. So did Dan post that first? So you said there was a very first post. It sort of started with that 30-second video, right? Was that on his personal page, or did he actually create a social distance powwow page and put it on that? And then, or do you remember the details?
The page was created at that point.
So he created a social distance powwow page.
The social distance powwow group had started.
Okay.
He posted the video in the group and then shared it to his personal page, which is how I saw it.
I see. Okay. Okay. And then you were talking about one of the things you did was to admit people. So you set it up so that people could invite people.
Yep.
People who were already in it could invite people. And
yes.
So you're approving all of those. So you approved 160,000 admits. Wow.
Okay. Dan, Whitney, and I, it was a lot. But as with any large gathering of people, you know, we worry about unscrupulous individuals. We worry about people who are known for spamming virus, you know, just.
Oh, yeah.
So we weren't turning people away because they were from another country or, you know, anything like that. It was folks that we knew would be an issue. I think in total we've got 160 some odd thousand people. I think we've only had to turn away like 190 or 200 people. It's not much.
Yeah.
And we've people from every major European nation, including Russia, half of the continent of Africa, India, China, Japan, Korea, Australia, and almost every nation of South and Central America.
Wow. So you did not anticipate the size of this. You did not anticipate that. Is there anything else you didn't anticipate that was unexpected and maybe a positive?
Well, just the outpouring of support. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this had happened or we'd tried to do this at any other time, I think it would have fallen on its face. Why? Because we could go to the powwow and we wouldn't to deal with technology. We wouldn't have to dress in our living rooms, which is a lot of what people are doing. It wouldn't have worked. And so people are so eager to dress. They are so eager to dance. For money or not, the hand drums, the drummers that are coming on, we've got over almost 100,000 posts on that board at this point. Unique posts, never mind the comments that come flooding in after. And it was just unbelievable. I mean, we're getting messages from people saying that this has prevented them from committing suicide. We've got people messaging us that this is the only way that their grandparents will get to see them dance, or the last time they saw their family member before they passed away from any number of reasons was dancing for the social distance powwow. I get really emotional thinking about it.
Me too.
But it's beautiful. It's humbling more than anything. It's so humbling that, you know, I'm, yes, I would say that a lot more people know who we are now than a few months ago. But you know what? At the end of the day, that doesn't matter. And I can safely say that about the three of us. The notoriety is not, we don't care. What we care about is that we're able to help. And these dancers are being able to dance. As a side effect to the size of this page, we were able to create the social distance powwow marketplace for all those vendors and artisans that I was talking about. And that is growing every day, hand over fist. And we're getting messages from vendors saying that this has kept their business afloat. This has kept their lights on. This has kept the roof over their head. And that is the essence of it, is that we're giving people hope. We don't allow politics or virus talk or any of that in there. This is a vacation from all that. It's a place where we don't have to worry. And it's a place where we can be ourselves and smile and laugh and not feel guilty for doing so.
And if I could just add something that, I mean, I couldn't agree more with everything you're talking about. Another thing I've really enjoyed about it is that it's self-selecting and perhaps more accessible. I don't know, maybe that's not true, but I've really enjoyed seeing folks who are disabled participating. Mm-hmm. I saw a man who was deaf do a drum song, and I just found that so touching. And I've seen multiple people with all different types of disabilities participating, and that is just so special to me, so beautiful.
Oh, it is. And we also are seeing it's folks that are in the hospital. Mm. It's our bedbound individuals who physically haven't been able to get to a powwow since who knows when because of their condition. And all of a sudden, this opens the door for them again. Mm. This allows them that experience, and I think that that's just phenomenal. I really do.
I do too. I really, really do. It's just been absolutely tremendous to be a part of it. And I came in very early on, and I'm so grateful to the person that invited me. And I'm so grateful to you all for giving your heart and soul to this. So is Dan a vendor? Because I was hearing a lot of talk, like we were planning a powwow at our university, which of course got canceled. And yeah. I was hearing a lot of talk from vendors who were upset about not getting their deposits back.
Yes.
Was Dan in that group of people? He was. Okay, so I wonder if there was a connection between with that issue, that was part of the motivation in doing that.
Yeah, there were a few things there. Dan is a man who he puts his community first and foremost. And so is Whitney. Mm. They're both exceptionally giving people. And Dan, I mean, all of his events were canceled. He's a wampum worker. And for those who aren't familiar, of the Eastern tribes, he's Mashantucket Pequot, from Connecticut. And we use wampum in traditional adornment, and it's, iconic to the East. Everyone who sees it knows what it is. I'm wearing it. My people wore it. And so he travels the country. He's exceptionally well known for his craftsmanship. And everything just got canceled on him. And there was a lot of backlash because of the how sudden everything happened, that big powwows such as Gathering of Nations in Albuquerque, Denver March in Denver, Colorado, they refused to return vendor fees. And they're no small change. Gathering of Nations is $750 for one table. If you have two tables, you're now at $1,500, and they flatly refused. Denver March is not as much, and they are still working out exactly what they're going to do. But what it comes down to is that's $750 or $1,500 that they can't use for food, for roofs over their head, for inventory that may expire in some cases, like your all-natural soaps and things like this. So there was a lot of kickback. A lot. And I'm concerned for the future of those large powwows because of how they treated their vendors and their artisans. Time will tell. Mm-hmm. And of course, as a dancer, and I vend as well, my beadwork, I of course want to see them succeed, but I also know that there's going to be repercussions for what happened. And I think from a business point of view, they put all their deposits in for their venues. They put in a bunch of non-refundables, and they may not physically have been able to, and that's fine. But there is no transparency into why they're refusing. And So Dan, who was slated, I believe, for both of those events, definitely Denver March, I'm not sure about Gathering. You know, he was concerned now because his inventory isn't perishable, but, you know, the time and the effort and the energy into doing it, now what? And so he looked at it in that perspective, and, you know, that was the other reason we pushed for that marketplace once we got some momentum to help those vendors, because that's their living. They go from powwow to powwow, and that's it. And so we were trying to reach them and try to help them out.
Yeah, thank you so much for speaking to that.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm not sure that everybody knows that there is a financial aspect to it for some folks.
Yeah, and even for the dancers too.
Right.
For the dancers that come off the reservations, or even what we term urban Indians, and I'm in that camp.
Me too.
This is their income. They are professional dancers, and there are some powwows where the winner of a category might walk away with $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and they just go from powwow to powwow to powwow. That's not happening. And so, you know, the specials are our small way to try to mitigate that part of things, and just try to, again, financially fill those gaps as a byproduct of what we're trying to do.
So I saw that Whitney posted 2 or 3 days ago. I'm definitely losing my sense of time, so bear with me. I think it was this week. It was recently that he said, hey, this is not ending. There's no expiration date on the social distance powwow. So what are you picturing for the future of the social distance powwow? Are there new angles that you're hoping to work into this, or the committee, the three of you? What are you thinking about where this is going and what you might want to keep in place, what you might want to add, what you might want to take away? Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, and until recently, I would have to tell you that we're just acting on a day-to-day. We are keeping the positivity. We're keeping the momentum. We're going for it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only money the money that we get for specials is from selling t-shirts. And we've got some more stuff coming soon for that. But the other thing that we've found out in the last day or two is that we are going to be moving towards nonprofit status. So that we would like to formally establish ourselves as a nonprofit, whether that's through fiscal partnership and sponsorship, or our own avenue. And then we also are being contacted by some other powwows, in the future, who have been trying to figure out how they could move their canceled in-person powwows online. So there's a lot of communication. We're doing our best to help other people bring their powwows online. And if nothing else, you know, we also are a platform, a constructive, positive platform for things like traditional storytelling, language preservation, and Native people telling history in the Native voice. What does it look like from our side as opposed to the conventional mainstream textbook descriptions about how things are happening and what the status of our cultures are?
I love it. I love it. Oh, so exciting. It's so exciting. The pandemic is terrible, but this is wonderful.
and that's like, we've been picked up by over 100 news outlets at this point.
Yeah.
And on Thursday, and at the national and the local and the international level, we had an interview with Brut Media out in France, and they're broadcasting all over their Europe, Asia, and America channels. India, the Royal Bank of Canada has approached us to do an Indigenous persons discussion. And I think really everyone's talking about the pandemic, and I think this is a very rare, you know, beam of light that cuts through all this heavy negativity. Like, since when do you see a powwow dancer on NBC Sports national news at 6 o'clock?
I'm loving it. I mean, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. You know, I'm loving it.
It's exceptional.
It is. Finally.
And it's opening other avenues and doors to more cultural conversations that just haven't happened. And I think that it's another completely unintended side effect of what we're doing. But you know what? We're going with it. And, you know, it's part of the forward momentum to see where this thing goes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. There's so much happening, and it's really it's really quite remarkable. I mean, you and I probably wouldn't be talking because you're right. The powwow circuit is national and there are big powwows, but mostly they're small. Mostly they're local. And it would be tough to connect two people like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
But in this context, there's an absolute connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm also seeing another thing I'm really liking about the social distance powwow, and a thing I like about powwows in general is when a powwow is diverse.
Yes.
So I'm seeing a lot of regional tribal cultural representation in the social mm-hmm. distance powwow. Like I'm seeing California tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, we see a lot of plains culture in powwows.
Yes.
And powwows are always welcoming of any tribal culture, but generally it seems to be sort of plains focused at times. So I'm really enjoying seeing Indigenous people from all over America and elsewhere. I mean, are you feeling that as well? And is this reaching into Canada and Mexico? Yes. Do you feel it is?
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Do you feel like that's increasing? Do you feel like it's becoming less and less U.S. based every day? Is that kind of trending or?
So I'm going to back up just a quick second. Just
yeah,
for
please do.
In the future, who may not know why plains culture is more prevalent.
Yes.
It's because the concept of a powwow in the way that it's held, at least in this era and time, based upon plains style gatherings.
Right.
In the eastern parts of the country where my folks are from, we use small drums. I mean, water drums, maybe this big, you know, and what are called clappers. And they're pieces of black ash, like think like a wooden paint stick, but made out of ash and tied with sinew on one end and smacked, and it makes like a clapping sound. And we would dance in longhouses doing dances that look absolutely nothing like what we're doing. And the Salish coastal cultures, Native Alaskans, the Danza dancers of Mexico, they don't dance in that big, I call it the big drum persona. It's something completely different. I adapt to it. I mean, I dance at powwow around with the big drums and that sort of thing. But this has really opened up, like my mom, for example. I get most of my nativeness through my dad. And, you know, he's a first generation American. So, you know, my mom has grown around the Northeastern Native culture. She has logged in the social distance powwow and has seen Native Alaskan dancing for the first time. She's seen the canoe songs and the bird songs. Forgive me, I don't know what the proper name for that is, but the coastal Pacific Northwest with the large dance masks, the wooden masks. She's seen buffalo dances for the first time from the Pueblo Nations. She has seen a variety of danza, being the dances of Mexico and even further south of Mexico and Central America. And then our First Nations people, in the same spirit of American powwows, they use big drums. They, in the plains style. But what we're seeing is a lot of social songs that are coming out that are different. You know, hand drum songs or rabbit dances or alligator dances, things that don't ordinarily show up at a powwow. And we're all about it. We are all about it. You know, we want to see it. We want all of that to get out there. We've had some Native Siberians that have sent dances into us, and we've posted. UNESCO, there's a gentleman who's a photographer for UNESCO, and he's up in northern Siberia, and he's actually been facilitating videos from up there to have those dancers show their way. And the Native peoples of Australia, the Maori of New Zealand, and it's a beautiful aggregation of Indigenous peoples. I would say, I mean, knowing the inside stats, you know, the membership is 80 to 85% North America, meaning Canada, U.S., and Mexico. Of that, it's predominantly the United States, very closely followed by Canada. I suspect that that's a connectivity thing. You know, some spots in Mexico do not have the ability to access the internet like others. But like I said, we've got communications and access from all over the world. And this is a little off topic, but I'm going to say it anyway. it's encouraging people in other countries to question whose land they're standing on. So the folks in Germany are asked, yes, I'm here now, but who were the Celts or the Druids or whomever? The Druids are Ireland, I apologize. But who were the cultures there before me? And getting into those regional indigenous histories and that land acknowledgement that we've seen starting in the United States and Canada. But it's those questions are starting to be asked elsewhere. And I think that that is phenomenal.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's I love seeing it. And I can't agree with you more that the regional specializations that come out, and I think the reason we don't see it otherwise is because travel's expensive.
Yes.
Hotels and food and gas and God forbid, you get sick, you break down, whatever. So I think this is a great way to really showcase the diversity that we have and get it out there.
It really is. I mean, it has just flung the door wide open in the in the best way possible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, where do you think it'll be in a year? Just, I don't know.
Well, if I could personally speculate, and this does not reflect the views of my partners because we really haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
I love when the virus is over to have an in-person powwow.
And would we still call it the social distance powwow or would it have some other name?
We might just as a memory to remember where this came from and the history to that name, even though it might be one of those things like, you know, when you show a kid a VHS tape today, they go, what's this? 10 years from now, people might go, why do they call it the social distance? Like, what is that? But there's a history there.
Yeah.
There's a big old pin right there as a mark in history. And so I don't know. Like I said, we haven't talked about it. But I personally, I don't think it'll be a year. You know, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of footwork, groundwork, financial work. But in the future, I certainly hope so.
Wow. And do you think it would be some kind of mix of a virtual powwow and an in-person powwow so that the folks who can't be there are there with you somehow? I mean, I feel like this is what everybody's thinking about is not just in terms of powwow, just in general, sort of, well, what wasn't working about the way we lived before? And how does this make us rethink things to make life more accessible?
Yeah. You know, I think that we're setting a precedent with this social info. Having they call it the cyber circle. I think I coined that term early on. It's pivotal. And, you know, there have always been groups like powwows.com that will fly into the major powwows and they'll set up cameras and do live TV style feeds, from Denver March, from Crow Fair. From these big, big powwows. This is a different way of doing it. And, you know, I don't know what that holds for future powwows because, you know, we're figuring it out on the fly right now, what it means for us. You know, we have a live session with Midnight Express later on today. And we were figuring out yesterday how we were going to figure it out today.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're learning, and I truly hope that this shows the populace that we can be more inclusive at our powwows for those folks who may be, you know, housebound or bedridden or otherwise unable financially or for whatever medical or any other reason to get there, and to really share those vibes and that energy and those prayers with them.
Yeah. What has it been like with Facebook as the forum? Has Facebook been helpful? Have you thought about another forum? I mean, obviously you're in. I mean, there's so many people now. But what has it been like doing this on Facebook as opposed to maybe another platform? Any thoughts about that?
Sure. So we are also on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, hold on.
But as you can see,
I didn't realize that at all.
Exactly. And so that's partially on us. We haven't perhaps pushed it as well as we could because we're so wrapped up in what's going on.
Okay.
We hit what we call the algorithm wall at about 120, 130,000 people, where Facebook has basically said that we are influencing too many people's news feeds at one time. And so that they are now, instead of every time we post it showing up on everybody's news feed, it will, maybe every other post will show up or every two posts will show up. And it has dramatically slowed down our membership, like, rates of increase because the Facebook algorithm is restricting our content. And that's not unique for us. That's any huge page out there. That's not, it's not like they're coming after us. But we have been trying to find ways to create content, and to create, interactive experiences to more or less override that algorithm.
Okay.
One of those things was like last Saturday, we had our 1 month special. The 16th of April, social distance powwow, 1 month, 159,000 and some odd people. We said, you know what? We need to do a special for that. So we did. And we had everybody, all age groups, all categories, all classes, submit a video. The top six from likes, loves, and reactions went live for Saturday Night Live session.
Oh, I saw this. I remember this. Yeah, yeah.
So what we did then was because we've got all their families, we've got their friends, they're posting videos to everybody else's page to come back to our page, the boat, and first of all, everyone had a blast. The dancers, the families, everybody, we got inundated with messages about how much they loved it. And then the final six, they got a full introduction like you would at a spotlight special at a big powwow, and the MC's got your name, they've got their numbers, they've got everything. And we let the public vote by poll who won for the night. And there were prizes given, and it was an immensely positive reaction, and I think that that was a really ingenious way to work around the limits of the platform of Facebook, to continue to engage our audiences. And so we recognize that there are limits to Facebook. We recognize that there are some community guidelines and standards that Facebook has that may be challenging for native culture, such as flagging and removing any post with the word feather in it.
What?
It could insinuate the buy, sell, or trade of restricted items, such as raptor feathers and bird. Mm-hmm. So, and I've run into this other places because I have e-commerce through Facebook with my business, and I have to be careful about how I word my posts because Facebook will flag it as against community standards.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, like, there's a lot of levels to how the platform really guides us. And that's part of why we went to Instagram. Every photo that we post gets bounced off to Instagram and people can connect with it in a slightly different way. We had to also create a group called the Social Distance 49. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the 49s.
Oh, yes, I am.
So for posterity, the 49s is the evening humor and entertainment after powwow that may or may not be particularly friendly for small children. And so it's a lot of the adult jokes and the humor that a lot of people just do not understand unless you're involved in the powwow community. And so in an effort to entertain and also capture that aspect of a powwow, we create Social Distance 49. So
I'll need to add that too.
Yeah, go for it. And so in order to prevent our platform from strangling us, you know, because if we put up necessarily all of the 49 posts in the main group, they'd be shutting the group down because a lot of folks might be offended. They may not understand. And that's no fault of anyone's. That's just the nature of it. And so we were able to partition that off and prevent issues with community standards and that sort of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
You are. So that's the first spinoff. A couple of people have said to me, I feel like there's going to be a spinoff for a native singles, like a native snagging.
Probably.
Circle.
But there's a lot of the snagging humor and all that.
Yeah. Sort
of stuff. It's all on 49.
So the 49 is really the native singles.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. I mean, I just, who would have ever thought? I mean, it was like this thing where the minute I saw it, I thought, what? But then half a second later, I thought, this is genius. This is genius.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine this would have ever happened any other way.
No. Like, Gathering of Nations recently published a day or two ago that they are going to attempt a virtual powwow. And their virtual powwow is a complete restream of the 2019 Gathering of Nations footage that powwows.com took. And they're basically going to stream it in high def, utilizing a very similar format to what we're doing. So Gathering of Nations saw what we were doing and the momentum that we gained, and they decided that's what they want to do. They have no affiliation with us. They never approached us, never spoke with us or anything like that. But it was like, it's one of those things where we've turned some big heads as far as powwow goes, to say, well, maybe this can work. And now other people are trying. We've got other groups that are not affiliated with us that are doing something special, doing something similar, like quarantine specials. They're another group, but they have corporate sponsors. They hire head judges, and they do almost exclusively payout dances and specials and competitions. There's the round dance, virtual round dance, the virtual round dance. And they do hand drum songs, and they specialize in round dances and that sort of thing. And so we're not affiliated with them, but we've each sort of found our way. And the social distance powwow is sort of the broad encompassing of where quarantine specials has really taken on the competition side of things. Mm-hmm. And you know, the round dance group, virtual round dance, they've captured our hand drummers and that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. Yeah. more specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, gosh, I don't want to keep you much longer. I've kept you for about an hour now.
Really?
Yes. 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 I've taken up an hour of your life. And when you explained at the beginning what all you're involved in, I was like, whoa, your hands are full.
And that's you know what? It's my day off from my 9 to 5, so I'm good.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Gosh, is there anything I haven't asked you about that maybe would be good for future researchers to know about being Native, living through COVID-19, running a social distance powwow, being a beater?
I would say that for future researchers who are looking at the impacts of this virus on Indigenous peoples and communities, reach out to the reservations, monitor the printed news from these reservations. That's where a lot of their information is coming from. They do not have the virtual resources to go and have online platforms. So if you're looking for really what went on in a more reservation oriented capacity, that would be the place to go. And I can't stress enough to future researchers that if you really want to get a Native person, much like we're doing now, to explain, go find them, ask them, message them, knock on their door. We are a culture of verbiage. We are a culture that speaks. And you know, I can, if it's approached in the right way, you know, you don't look like the paparazzi, they're willing to talk to you and they'll be willing to share. And I can see a lot of this being a lot like, not the Great Depression, not quite on that scale, but something similar. This is a time that has really marked history for my generation, for the generations before me, the generations after me, that are older, that, you know, they've lived through a whole lot more, you know, and the perspective is very different, but, you know, we as in my generation will remember when the virus hit and where were you? Sort of like 9/11. Where were you on 9/11? Everyone remembers where they were. I mean, I was in the fourth grade sitting in art class and the teacher turned on the television. And so, I mean, and that was 20 years ago, you know? So, but yeah, talk to people. Don't be afraid to ask. As long as it's in a good way, people will be more than happy to share.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just such an honor to talk with you and to be able to personally thank you for what you've done for all of us. This is just such a tremendous and unexpected gift to be able to connect with each other this way. It really has saved so many people, and thank you so much for giving of yourself in that way and jumping in and doing whatever it takes to make this work and make it happen.
Well, it's my honor to do so, and I'm humbled to be able to do so. You know, and I'm glad to have folks like you who are, you know, not only entrenched in the academic world and the science and history side of things, but also just an active member of the Powwow community, so that you can appreciate both sides and that you recognize the need to capture things like this for people in the future. So thank you for what you're doing. And if anyone, present, future, otherwise, wants to reach out, I'm here to talk more. If you want to record some more, I'm more than happy to make myself available.
Oh, thank you so much, Stephanie. Thank you so, so much. And I am just wishing you and the committee and everyone in the Social Distance Powwow wonderful, tremendous health and happiness. And just thank you so much.
You're most welcome. You take care of yourself and you be safe out there.
You too. Okay. Have a great day. Okay. Bye.